This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines, and we begin with the economy today, as the White House once again touting what it considers the success of the Recovery and Reinvestment Act, also known as the stimulus package, which passed Congress last year. According to the report, the stimulus package has added anywhere between 2.5 to 3.5 million jobs. And today, in further pitching the results, Vice President Joe Biden says the reason we're seeing any economic growth at all is because of this legislation.
We are releasing a report today that says the GDP is between 2.7 and 3.2% higher because of one thing, the Recovery Act. Put it another way, we would be barely growing at all were it not to have passed in the first place.
Republicans not buying that explanation. All they see is a skyrocketing unemployment rate as well as mounting government debt as a result of the massive spending behind that stimulus plan. House Republican leader John Boehner says the Democrats have been defeated and are now looking to pass the rest of what he considers their excessive agenda after the midterm elections.
The Democrats say they're focused on jobs, but they can't even fulfill the basic responsibilities of governing, like doing a budget or passing a troop funding bill to take care of our troops. They're in full retreat, but they're hoping on a lame duck session so that they can continue their job-killing agenda.
Earlier today, I spoke with Nebraska Senator Mike Johanns. He says the only one who believes the results of the stimulus package coming out of the White House is the White House itself.
Nobody in America believes that except the White House. I mean, that's just absolutely incredible. That goes alongside the promise that if we voted for the bill, unemployment would not go over 8.5%, and today it stands at 9.5%. It's flirted with as high as 10%. Shows no signs of going down. No, nobody believes that except the White House.
Senator Johanns is also leading the effort on another front, an effort to repeal a specific provision within the health care package that was passed earlier this year. It's Section 9006 that he wants to see repealed, which would force anyone with $600 in expenses to a specific entity to fill out a 1099 form. Currently, that law applies only to services, but would now encompass just about everything in American commerce. To hear my full conversation with Senator Johanns, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. It's been almost a year now, about 11 months to be specific, since the Scottish government, with the blessing of at least the British government, if not the United States, released the only man ever convicted in association with the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland in December of 1988. Mohammed Ali al-Megrahi was released by the Scottish government with the full endorsement of the British government in August of last year on compassionate grounds because medical experts had determined that he had less than 3 months to live due to an aggressive form of prostate cancer. Well, now Megrahi is still alive 11 months later, and some physicians in Libya now say he could live another 10 years. We reported at the time of the release last year that there was a distinct possibility that oil was a major issue behind this, as Libya would give British companies the right to drill for oil in its waters in exchange for Megrahi's release. Now it appears that there is more evidence to back up that belief. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez speaking on Capitol Hill, and he says, yeah, BP at the center of all this.
If BP is found to have gained access to Libyan oil reserves by using a mass murderer as a bargaining chip, then make no mistake, any money it makes off of that oil is blood money, pure and simple.
Senator Menendez appeared on MSNBC on Wednesday, as did Bert Ammerman, the brother of one of the men killed on Pan Am Flight 103 22 years ago. Mr. Ammerman says he's extremely disappointed with the American government's handling of the Megrahi situation.
Here we are, 21 years later. I thought the last chapter was done when this guy was released. We're starting over again. If I was saying anything to the American citizens today, step one, boycott BP. Step two, tell your representative and senator, these families need to know the truth. 21 years later, we're still a front page story. Why? Because our government hasn't done what they're supposed to. There's no moral backbone down in that White House.
Ammerman basically saying that the United States could have stopped the release of Megrahi if we really put up a fight. Senator Menendez says that's not the case. We'd have no reason to want him released.
Show me the evidence where the United States would have had an effort to try to release al-Megrahi. It would make no sense for the United States to want to release al-Megrahi.
But Mr. Ammerman, after more than two decades of trying to find all the answers in this story, says he knows how the system works.
One thing I've learned in 21 years is nothing happens in Great Britain without the USA saying it's okay. Obama's administration could have gone back channels to say, don't release this guy. It didn't take place. This is oil. It's despicable. It's unethical. It's immoral. It's illegal.
In other news, we're just learning that former Vice President Dick Cheney underwent major heart surgery last week as doctors work to insert a mechanical device that will help the heart's pumping. According to reports, Cheney's congestive heart failure was significantly worsening, and the surgery was not elective but necessary in order to preserve his health. More details assuredly will be emerging on this story, but Dick Cheney reportedly recovering from successful but major heart surgery. Cheney is 69 years old and has suffered five heart attacks dating all the way back to when he was in his 30s in the 1970s. And finally, the NAACP has in fact approved a resolution condemning the Tea Party and suggesting that the party scrutinize itself for its racist elements. That's backpedaling the language a little bit, which had basically cast a very broad brush of painting the Tea Party as a racist organization. Conservatives having nothing to do with that. Black conservative Deneen Borelli of Project 21 saying that this is just a sad commentary on the NAACP, which is losing its significance. She also says there are no strains of racism within the Tea Party and that the Tea Party has a very clear agenda where it wants to lead this country towards freedom, not any sort of racial segregation. To hear my complete interview with Deneen Borelli of Project 21, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. Also, while you're there, catch my interview with Peter Ferrara of the American Civil Rights Union. He says there's a major story that's not being reported on, that the Obama administration has failed to release its annual Social Security report. He says the reason for that, in addition to Social Security going into the red much sooner than projected, it's because the long-term projections for Medicare will be horrific due to what he calls draconian cuts in Medicare as a result of the president's recently passed health care reform package. That interview also, worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.